Welcome to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. Your host, Jen Narciso, interviews amazing guests each week to help you become educated, be inspired by other money stories, and stay motivated on your own wealth-building journey. No matter where you are financially, whether you're in debt or financially free, this podcast is for you. Now sit back and enjoy.
Welcome back to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. I'm your host, Jen Narciso, and I am excited for today's episode. I have the pleasure of interviewing Maria Ho from Goals Wonders Fire. Maria and I actually met on Instagram. Maria and I connected over episode number 40, How to Massively Save on IVF Costs. If you haven't checked out that episode, I highly encourage you to do so. And Maria reached out. She really appreciated everything that Jennifer shared, and it was such an awesome episode. And so she had reached out and shared some of her own personal journey with me, which was really awesome and humbling to hear her own story. And once I heard it, I had to bring her on. And so this episode, we talk about, you know, out-of-state investing and her money story, which is all great. But she also very openly shares the cost of her journey through IVF. And she also had cancer as well. She's been through a lot, and she shares her journey is just awesome. And I think she's such an inspiration. So I'm really excited to dive in. But before we do, I did want to just check in with everyone because I know there's a lot of talk of a recession coming and inflation is getting higher and higher. I can do an episode on all of this another time, but there are two things that I am doing that my husband and I are doing to kind of, we know, well, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know when the market's going to crash. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know something is coming. I think we all feel something is going to happen with this economy. It's just unsustainable the way we've been going. Government's never printed this much money before. Gas prices are going higher. We have the war. There's just so much going on, and I know it can be overwhelming. But there are two things I think you can do to actually take some action and get control of your own personal money situation. There's all these other factors going on in the world, and there's all this external stuff that we don't have any control of, but there are two things I think you can do. And you should be honestly doing these two things anyway, but now more than ever, I would strongly encourage you just to put yourself in a much stronger position. So if a recession does come, or who knows what else, you are prepared. And so the first thing is to really, really go to your expenses. Really see where your money is going out right now. It is getting so much more expensive to spend money on gas. I think food prices are going to be going up soon. So all of that excess stuff that you can get rid of, start eliminating now while you can and have the luxury to stop spending on those things. So whether it's any ongoing memberships that you're paying that you're not using, if you're going out to eat a lot, can you stay at home a little bit more and make dinner in? Can you save on cell phone bill costs? Can you get rid of Netflix for a little bit? All these things, although they may not seem like a lot, they will add up. And right now, if you can get rid of stuff, start. So, and the only way you can do that is if you actually go through your budget, not even your budget, just go through your expenses and see where your money's been going out for the past couple of months and see where you can really cut some corners. So that's the first thing, is to kind of rein in the spending. The second thing, which I think is even more important, is to create extra streams of income. If you are worried about a recession and you're worried about losing your job, if you have multiple streams of income coming in, it will be a lot more secure. So now is the time to start doing these types of things, whether you are thinking about launching a business or a side hustle, whatever, anything you can do to generate some extra income and save that money just to prepare, the better off you will be. If you do need some ideas, you can go to investormama.com/make money. You know, I have some resources there for different courses to help educate yourself so you can learn about different lucrative side hustles, learn about things, whether you want to start maybe an Etsy business or you're thinking of helping with Facebook ads, or there's just so many realms of ways you can create extra money, or Salesforce. I have a link on there. Whatever it is, the more skills you can develop and the more you can educate yourself, and I should say create extra streams of income, which is the most important thing, now's the time to do it. If you're thinking about buying real estate, definitely do your research. But if you find a deal that makes sense, you may want to think about getting that extra income in that way. Whatever it is that you can do, walk dogs, Uber Eats, again, whatever. Just do something, because you'll feel a lot more secure if you have some money come in than if you have nothing coming in. So those are the two biggest things that I would really strongly encourage you to do. And the other thing also is all this is what we're doing, and this is not financial advice by any means. This is just what we're doing. I know cash is really losing value right now with inflation so high. But for me personally, especially since I'm not a W-2 income, I'm a 1099, I'm saving a stronger emergency fund out. And I know it's not being invested, but it just gives me peace of mind knowing we have cash on hand. Everything else, though, we are investing. Because even though I know the market's been on a roller coaster ride, I know everything's on a roller coaster right now and nothing feels safe. But the more money you have coming in will allow you to strengthen that nest egg and also just to keep investing. Because eventually things are going to turn around and you want to be in the market as things are less and less expensive. As the market goes down, everything's on sale. So just kind of keep all this in mind. I know it can be scary. I know there's a lot of unknowns in this world. But if you can just work on those two things, you'll be in such a better financial position than many other people. So, all right, I am done talking about all of this. But if you have any questions or you have some ideas you want to bounce ideas off, just reach out. Let me know. I'd love to hear them. Just email me at Jen, J-E-N, at investormama.com. Let me know what you're thinking, what side hustles you're thinking about doing, or you know, any new pivots into new business areas, rental, real estate, whatever you're interested in, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. And you can check out other podcast episodes as well. I have tons of information and tons of free resources for you to learn from others who are doing really cool stuff. So definitely get educated and figure out how you can create more income. So, but I am excited to dive into today's episode. So without further ado, Maria, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Hi, Jen. Thank you for having me today. I'm doing very good today. Thank you for asking.
Awesome. Well, I would love to start with, what is your money story? Why don't we start there to kind of break the ice?
My money story. Okay. So transparency. I was never a saver. I was always a spender. So we are a team, my husband and I. So we are both going through a journey called FIRE, which is financial independence, retire early, or, you know, work optional at least. And I would say that it all started in 2017, but we didn't know much about FIRE. We knew we wanted to have a lot of passive incomes. So that's our money story started with real estate. That's what we learned then in 2017. And we did not explore into other options until later on, like index funds or other avenues of passive income. So 2017 is when we purchased out of state, Philadelphia. So our first property was in 2017, Philadelphia. In the same year, we purchased another out of state property in Illinois. So we live in one of the most expensive city in the United States. It's New York City. So we do have and own our primary residence here in New York City, as well as a rental property. It's a two family, or you would call it like a duplex in New mm-hmm. Jersey. So we live in one and then we rent like the second floor. And we also house hats, which what that means is that we also rent a room or two rooms within the same apartment that we live in right now.
So I'd love to dive into this a little bit because you live in New York City, so prices are very expensive. You house hacked, you got a duplex. Now you're living in a single family or an apartment?
Yeah.
Okay. What made you decide to go out of state? I mean, I can tell what made you go out of state with the expense, the cost, but Philadelphia is also not a cheap city necessarily. So what made you decide to go over there first?
So we started learning a little bit about real estate in 2017 with like YouTube and forums and podcasts like Bigger Pockets. Mm-hmm. We wanted somewhere that was close enough for us to be able to reach out to take a look at the properties like within 2 hours. So Philadelphia was like right in the sweet, it was a really sweet spot. And it wasn't too far. It's not right here, but it wasn't too far. So that's where we started in Philadelphia. The market in Philadelphia in 2017, it's not as crazy as it is right now.
Yeah, nothing's as crazy as it is right now all across exactly. The country. It's ridiculous.
But we knew we had to start like somewhere. From it could either be a PA or Maryland, but we also knew that we wanted a landlord-friendly state where, so that's why we sort of chose Philly. And why didn't we choose another property over here in Brooklyn or in New York City or in Queens? It's too expensive. You know, the same amount of down payment we would need to put over here, we can buy three properties out of state.
Yeah, it's sad, but so true. So you're investing in Philly. What were some of the initial steps you took to find the property?
So we definitely wanted to be able to look at the property. We actually, it all started like, let's go one of these weekend. We used to work Monday to Friday, so we only had Saturday and Sunday, my husband and I. So we will go Saturday and Sunday. We'll stay in Philly at a hotel. And for those 2 days, we'll meet up with real estate agent over there. So we met this one and we really liked him. So we'll start with him for like a few weekends. He toured, you know, he picked some property, or we sent him over some links that we wanted to see like tomorrow or today. So back and forth, I think that took about 3 months, but it was like between weekends that we will go to Philly, take a look at the property, see if the number makes sense, or if it didn't, then okay, let's move on. But we also wanted in a neighborhood that was probably up and coming, but not the, like, because if it's already, you know, gentrified, it's usually going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah, so more of like the A-class
area that was up and coming, that was within our budget as well, that we had the down payment, like the 20%. So it went on very random. I guess it was like, okay, let's pick a city and that is within 2 hours
away. That's awesome. So you find this property. And so Philly is still close enough that you were able to drive. Do you have a property manager with this property now?
Yes, we do. We do.
How'd you go about finding? Because I know that's difficult.
Ooh, so that was a little bit challenging with property manager, but because it's a metropolitan, just like, you know, New York City, there is just so many property management that you could choose. You know, if you didn't like one, okay, move on with another one. And we spent another weekend. Well, that was a quick process, actually. We spent a Saturday and Sunday. We already have all the bunch of questions. And I went on Yelp and I went on Google to see reviews first. And then we picked about, I think, six property managers and we scheduled them on a Saturday. So we meet all six on a Saturday, different time frame. So they can come into our property, take a look. They'll give us their analysis, how much you can rent out for, or what changes do we need to make? Because it actually, our property is actually in two blocks away from a university. So we can target students or we can target just, you know, a family with children or without children. So that happened really quickly in one weekend, actually. So
amazing.
We picked one or two and we came back, we talked about it, and we just chose one to go with. And that's the same one that we have had since 2018. That's when we were able to rent it out. We bought in 2017. It was some, you know, a lot of DIY renovations, and that actually delayed us until like 2018 to be able to be ready.
Did that hurt your budget? Because that's a long time to have vacancy sitting.
Yes.
Plus repairs.
It did hurt our budget. We bought it in September. So, you know, October, November, December, and those are winter months. And in winter months, it's just so hard for people. Don't want to move around those months when it's too cold.
Yeah.
And I think we didn't have it rented until maybe like March.
Okay, so that's
2018. So 6 months. I would say it was like 6 months just paying mortgage and us just using the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, to, I don't know, do the painting, fix the floor, the garden, take out all the trash. So it was a lot at the beginning.
So how come you didn't hire a contractor to do it?
Some of the stuff we were able to do ourselves in order to save costs. And other sorts of like the roofing, we had to hire somebody to do it. Oh, and why it took 6 months, actually. We, remember I told you that, okay, we were in between two property managers. Mm-hmm. The first one we chose, actually, well, we were working simultaneously with both of them. One, we were going to do like Section 8, but that actually didn't pan out. with that property manager. So secondly, this one that we have right now, it's, you know, just renting it to a family. We also thought about, should we rent it, you know, to students?
Yeah.
Or not. But it was going to be a little bit complicated. We did rent it to students because they don't have credit score. Most of them don't have credit score. And so yes, we have to use their parents. And yes, it would have to be maybe, because there was three rooms in an apartment. So we would have to rent it to three students. And yeah, there is 3 months of during the whole year in which they leave. So that was going to be, should we just keep it a little bit lower on the rent, but more of a more consistent family? So I was like, okay, let's see with that, which is we chose to rent it to like a couple. And okay, so they have been our tenants ever since 2018.
Oh, amazing. And so did you find your property managers though before you purchased the house or after you'd purchased already?
After we purchased the house, yeah.
So did you have an idea of what rents you'd get in though before? Because you had mentioned that you had asked the property managers like how did you run your numbers?
The numbers were run actually by our real estate agent. He gave us how much we would be able to rent it out if we go through Section 8 versus, you know, just regular non-Section 8. Section 8 was going to pay a lot more. So that was why we at first were like, okay, let's go through the process. But it's a lot of work to rent it to Section 8. A lot of work. At the end, we're like, okay, this is not worth it. It's already like 4 months into us buying the property and it was still not ready.
Wow. Okay. Awesome. So are there any lessons learned though you had with this property?
Yes. I think the number makes sense. And if we were to do it all over again, I think we will delegate all of the DIY to maybe a contractor.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would say because the cost you may have saved for doing yourself from keeping it vacant, probably I'd have to assume we're very close, if not more.
Yeah. So we will have to, you know, just delegate all of those tasks to a contractor, get it ready, rent ready as soon as possible. Because we did waste probably, like I told you, like 5 to 6 months of our time. We were paying mortgage already by then.
So wait, Maria, that's amazing that you did that in Philly. What were your numbers though? Like, what was your down payment? How much are you renting? How much repairs? Can you dive in a little bit?
Yeah, so it was $142K for the property. So we put down $20K. I don't even know how much that is. Oh, it was in the 20 something. I'll give you the numbers right now.
That's okay. It's like a 20%, over 20%.
Yeah, it was $142,000 plus closing costs, and you know, it was in the 20. Yeah, or even close to like 30K or something. And the roof cost us $3,000. And we did most of everything, like the painting, the ceiling, and the floors. You know, we took turns, like my husband and I, we'll go there 1 weekend, spend 2 days. We used to sleep there on a very, very uncomfortable couch for like Saturday and Sunday. So our out-of-pocket cost, I would think it was close to, plus a down payment, 35, 36K, I think.
And how much do you think it was that you missed on rent for those 6 months?
So we rented it at first in 2018, I think, close to 1,100.
Okay.
1,100. And so...
It's a single family, right?
Yeah. Three-bedroom, single family with an unfinished basement.
Cool. So you got 1,100 for it. So you missed...
6 months, about, yeah.
Yeah.
6 months. And how much is our mortgage and, you know, plus escrow? That was $805, around that. So okay, $800. So you
cash flowed like $300 a month.
Close. But then we would have to pay the property management too, which is 10%. Yeah. So 10% of $1,100. Yeah.
And then you figure, you know, save a couple for capital expenses and maintenance. So you maybe cash flow like $100.
Yeah,
give or take.
It's not much, really.
But how much? What do you think the value of your home is worth now?
Right now, I mean, per Zillow, it's maybe like 190, 200 right now.
Not bad. So you made 60K.
in equity so far. So one, I would say like conservatively, it's like 190K right now.
Amazing. So still, even though you messed up and you did all the things that you weren't sure, you still made out.
So that property we're still keeping right now. So yeah. I still have that property. But the
I love it though. That's why I love real estate, because you can mess up so badly and still be okay. Not that you messed up so badly, but you were new. You're new. Like, we all do it. We all have these silly things.
So the one that we bought in Illinois, so this one was already rent ready. They already had a tenant. We just had to pay, you know, 39K and 40K. So we bought it. But that's also the one that I sold last year in 2021. Because there was a lot of challenges. There were a lot of challenges with, it was in a very, very small town. So there weren't too many property managers, like you would think that you can interview and everybody knew everybody. Like this property manager knew the other property managers already. So,
gotcha.
And it was less than like a handful of PM that I could choose from. So that was a challenge, micromanaging other people. So at one point I was like, Because we already took out the equity because we did a cash out refinance. Mm-hmm. We were able to pull out 70% of what we put in.
Awesome. And what'd you do with that?
I put in the market.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So we bought in 2018. We did the cash out refinance in the next year, 2019.
Okay.
Yeah. So whatever we were able to pull out, I just invested in the stock market because you learn more as you go. You know, 2017, 2018, all I knew was real estate. And then little by little, we'll start learning that there are other ways you can invest your money.
Yeah. And I actually wanted to touch on something that you said earlier. When you were house hacking, was that before you went to Philly or was that after you went to Philly?
It was after. We never rented our spare rooms. We were like, we were afraid of these stories where you have a roommate or you guys don't get along. How do we kick him out? Like, we were so afraid for the first few years. So for maybe the first 4 years, it was vacant. We had two vacant rooms in our apartment. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And then, but now, so are you still living with people now or?
Yeah, we have one roommate right now. I used to rent two of the rooms over here, but right now it's just one room that has been rented.
That's awesome. So if you were to do your journey all over again, would you do real estate or would you be like, not for me?
I would still do it, but I would do it maybe a little bit differently because real estate is one of the best way to build wealth, but it's also a lot of headache. You're bound to make a lot of mistake. It's inevitable. But how else were we going to build wealth? And so we chose real estate at first. And if I had to do it all over again, I would still choose a percentage of our portfolio to be real estate, but another bigger percentage to be more towards index fund, which is really chill. You just buy it and forget it.
So can you just say what an index fund is really quickly for those who may not know?
So an index fund. Okay. So an easy way to understand it, it's like the S&P 500. S&P 500 really holds like the 500, the United States, like the most powerful 500 companies. So when you buy an index, you buy a share of each of these. Let's say I'm choosing just the S&P 500 as an example. And if I buy one share of the S&P 500, so I get a bit of every single company from, you know, that whole, the umbrella that holds this 500 companies. You get dividends on a quarterly basis. It depends. And the dividend can range from 1.something% to 2. It just depends how each of these companies are running, you know, per quarter.
Yeah. Okay. So it's much easier than investing in real estate because you're only investing in a fund. Like you said it and forget it. And then,
So it's much way, way easier than real estate. Real estate, you really have to look at the properties where you're investing. You have to know people or that they already have, you know, boots on ground in the area. Like if I wasn't there, who is going to watch it for me? Who's going to collect rents? And so property management already takes 10% of your rent. And then you have to factor in that there's also going to be cap expenditure, repairs, maintenance. And do you have a mortgage? Do you still have to pay for property taxes? So a lot of people, when you're buying, you have to factor in close to 40%, you know, to be on a conservative side. 40% will have to go towards mortgage, repairs, cap expenditure, a property management fee, repairs, maintenance. So if the number makes sense, I would say go ahead.
But make sure you do your due diligence and make sure you have boots on the ground or someone that you can at least trust, especially in Illinois. That must have been, how often did you have to go out there?
We only went there once.
Oh, wow. Okay.
To look at the property. We went there one time.
You bought it. I love it. That's really ballsy to do that. I would be so nervous going. I want to invest out of state, but there's a little part of me that's like, I need someone I know, at least nearby something. Maybe if it was that cheap, I would feel a little better because it's like, okay, not that losing $40,000, but I wouldn't feel as guilty. Maybe, you know, I'm lying. That's like terrible. Like I would be nervous for me, like to do that. I would be nervous to invest.
Yes. Now that I think about it, we're like, okay, well, what were we thinking?
Well, when you sold it, did you make any money? Did you make any profit, any equity?
I did not. I end up making money because I pull out the money to invest into index fund in the stock market. So I bought it for 39K. So with closing, it was close to like 40K. And it was renting it for $800 per month, and 8% went to the property management. And sometimes there were repairs and maintenance that, you know, that's in the equation as well. When we sold it, it was 25K last year.
But you still made 800K. You still made what, like 400K a month, or if you were renting it for 800?
About close to 650, maybe $650 out of the 800.
Went to expenses, and then so you made like 200.
I think maybe on an average, I would say it was about close to $600. There were
okay. So you made like $100 to $200 a month.
Oh no, 600 from the 800.
Oh, you made that. Oh yeah, that's right, because you didn't have a mortgage, so you made 600 a month. Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
PM and maybe here and there some repairs and maintenance. So we were averaging maybe closer about $600 for that property.
So that's not bad. So I'm just doing quick math. So you held it for what, 2 years?
We held it for 2 years, yes.
So 600 times 24.
No, 8, 9, 10. Oh, no. We sold in 2021, so 3 years.
So you made about 20 grand, over 20 grand in it. So even though you still did all that, you still made out.
Yeah, so
plus you put bonus.
Broke even. I would say we broke even with that property and a lot of lesson learned.
I was say, but that's awesome. And now you're still doing everything. And I have to really give you kudos because you're on your financial independence journey. You're trying to figure out what it is. You learn about real estate and then you dove in. Most people just talk about it. And how did you get your husband on board? Like, how did you guys just agree to do it?
I think the fear of not reaching financial independence, it's much higher than any other mistake that we have done or are about to make. We said, okay, can we be work optional at least in about 10 years? So 2017, 2027. So what can we do meanwhile that we're still young? We don't have any kids right now. It's just two of us and we have the energy. There's so much resources out there in the internet versus 10, 20 years ago. You want to learn about real estate? It's free.
Yeah.
All of this is free on the internet. Google it. Go to BiggerPockets if that's what you want to learn about real estate. But don't expect not to make any mistake.
Yes. No, we all make mistakes. The good, the bad, the ugly. And it's great though, because, you know, I love also that like some people proselytize real estate. It's like the best thing since sliced bread. And for some people, it doesn't work so well. And for some people, they rather just use into X funds. And I love that because it doesn't matter what you prefer. The main point and the main takeaway is just to take action, set your goals and just go for it. So I love that you guys did that. And I know that you also had another journey that you've been dealing with too with navigating. And that's why I'd like to talk about it a little bit, because that's one of the reasons why I started Investor Mama podcast is, like, you know, we're talking about our financial independence journey and all these things in real estate and index funds, and that's all great. But there's also another side that we don't talk about, which is the whole mom side, or trying to be a mom side, or not being a mom side. And it's like, us women have to stick together. like it's one thing with money, but there's other life happens to us, like aging parents, all these things. And I'd love for you to kind of talk about your infertility journey, if you're okay sharing it.
Yeah, definitely. So thank you so much for interviewing.
Of course, of course. This is fun.
So my husband and I, we decided we wanted to start trying since 2020. So we kept trying. I mean, anytime before that, we were like, let's wait. Let's build up this amount of, you know, cash we have, and then, or at least get rid of my student loan first before we try to have a family, because we can't have 3 mortgages and a student loan and a baby at the same time. So
yes,
the battles. So we chose to be, you know, child-free for, you know, our first 6-7 years of marriage. So I think we're ready. You know, financially, I feel we are stable to raise a little, but we kept trying for about a year. I was like, okay, something is wrong. It's either me or him or both of us. Or so in June of 2021, I think that's when we decided, okay, we have to see a fertility endocrinologist to see what's going on. And after all of these tests that you go through, that I went through actually, because, you know, the guy, they only need to be there to present the sperm, that's it.
They're one and done.
Women, oh my God, like I have gone through so many blood tests. And HSG, I don't even know what it stands for. It's where they actually shoot a dye to see, you know, if my ovary or my fallopian tubes are clogged, closed, everything's fine. They checked him, everything's fine. So we still don't know what the problem is as of now. In the interim of trying to find out, you know, what's the problem, another medical condition came up on my side that, you know, I would say that it has to do with my thyroid. So I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer last year.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
And that
she
was...
went through the whirlwind.
So we go to, you know, a fertility doctor. And then he's like, okay, why don't you, you know, see a medical endocrinologist? So I go to a medical endocrinologist to see what's going on. So he finds a mass on, you know, sitting right on top of my thyroid. He's like, okay, you should, you know, get that checked out. I was like, okay. We go to an ultrasound. The ultrasound confirms, okay, you have something. Okay, I have something right now. What? Go get a biopsy. I go get a biopsy within a matter of like a week. Everything was so fast after finding out, you know, from my fertility doctor to the medical endocrinology. And so the biopsy turns out that it's a malignant tumor. Mm-hmm. So, okay, now you have to decide. You have to get it out because it's a tumor.
Yeah. What were you, what were you feeling?
If it wasn't because the doctor, you know, felt the nodule around my throat area, I would have never thought that that was something not abnormal, like something normal. I always thought like it was a little bumps, but I always thought it was just there, you know, always had it, you know, but I'm glad that between finding out the biopsy to the surgery, it was like a couple of months in between. So I chose to have surgery to get removed in December, the 1st of December, when I met like our deductible and everything else.
Yeah. You're still doing it the FIWA way.
Yeah. So now we will have to go back to our fertility doctor to continue to start either IUI or IVF right now. So when your episode came out about IVF in Mexico, I went into the rabbit hole of finding more information about it.
Well, I hope it was a good rabbit hole.
It was a very good rabbit hole. And because luckily my insurance covers 3 cycles of IVF per lifetime. So if I do exhaust that, then okay, then we have the option of going to Mexico or any other country that has a really great success rate in IVF.
Oh, I'm so glad you found value. And I know Jennifer will be so thrilled because I know her journey was difficult too.
Yeah.
And I, again, thank you so much for sharing, because we're always after, you know, financial work optional or whatever the financial goal is, but there's always, I find, roadblocks or speed bumps, and to just kind of embrace it. And for at least, I feel like that's also kind of why you want to go, because there's always going to be something, and you always want to, the more prepared you are, I feel like then the more options you'll have. So even though I know you may not have had the best ride with real estate, are you now in a financial position where you may have to make some difficult decisions coming up? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I guess, what are you thinking about? And like, where is your headspace now?
Well, in regards to fertility wise, we're going to try IVF. If all fail, we're going to keep trying.
Yeah.
So I have known a friend that she has gone through IVF before she has a baby girl. So
you're like, whatever it takes, you're going to do it.
Yeah. If I exhaust, you know, my, whatever my insurance is able to pay, we'll pay out of pocket. We'll work, get the money, pay out of pocket. We'll go to Mexico if needs.
You'll do whatever.
Yeah.
I can't believe they don't know what it is after all those tests. Usually they at least have something to like, so yes or no.
Nothing appears to be abnormal in, you know, either one of us.
So if you were to keep trying now, theoretically, you could get pregnant. There's nothing technically, quote unquote, stopping you.
No, like, not my tubes, not my fallopian tubes, not my blood work. So we don't know yet. They always say there's a 32%. It could be, you know, the female side. Another 33% is, it could be a male factors. And then 33%, it's unknown. They don't know.
Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's so crazy. There's like a thing in Judaism, like where you don't want to wish someone good luck, especially around this stuff, because until the baby's actually here, anything can happen. So I'm just going to wish you well wishes. I don't know what the right word is, but that, you know, I hope your journey's easy and I hope it just gets easier along the way.
I hope so.
Maria, this has been awesome. I'm so glad that you reached out and offered to share your story. It's been phenomenal. Is there any like last minute food for thought you'd want to share before we enter our lightning round?
I would say, if anyone is really out there trying to get out of debt, trying to pay off their student loans, or trying to be mortgage free, just do it. You know, don't be afraid. It just have to know mistakes are going to be made, but you'd rather make them earlier than later on in life. So make all the mistakes you need to make earlier, so that, you know, success would eventually come. Just go for it. Try to invest as early as you can, either in real estate, it could be index fund, it could be in anything that you set your mind to. You want to build a business? Go ahead and do it. But don't just talk about it. Go ahead and do it.
Okay. Well, Maria, that's really good advice. And I'm a firm believer too. It's like, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to fumble, you're going to whatever, all the things can happen, but you got to just do it, or you'll always wonder, no pun intended, sorry, what could have been if you didn't. And like you said, I love that you said that you're more afraid of not getting out of the rat race than being, you know, making mistakes to get out.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, okay, let's dive into our lightning round. This is where I ask my guests the same four questions each week. Maria, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, awesome. Well, question number one is, what is one fun fact about you that not many people know?
I can speak fluent Spanish. If you looked at my face, you know, I'm 100% Chinese. I look Chinese. Both of my parents are Chinese, but I have a sort of a quirky background where I was born in Venezuela and raised in Puerto Rico, but with 100% Chinese parents. So we speak Chinese in the home, but once we were in school, it's Spanish and English. France is English, but I was raised until I was 15 in Spanish speaking schools in both Venezuela and Puerto Rico.
Amazing. So how come your parents moved?
My parents immigrated from China to Venezuela in the 1980s.
Oh, okay.
So in 1980s, better opportunities.
Gotcha.
So that's how I was born there. I have two siblings. They were also born in Venezuela. At age 5, we moved to Puerto Rico.
Okay.
So from age 5 to 15, it's Puerto Rico. I did not come to the state until I was 15.
Wow. And you said you speak Chinese, English, and Spanish. That's pretty awesome. Cool. Well, question number 2 is, who inspires you the most and why?
I would say my parents. I think growing up, they are like really the most hardworking people I have ever met in my life. They literally used to work 364 days. The only day that the restaurant was not open, because they used to own a restaurant, it was on Thanksgiving. That was the only day out of the whole year that they took off. But 365 days, they would work at least 6 days per week.
Wow.
At a minimum of 10 to 12 hours per day. And they would grind and grind and grind. I have never heard them complain about being tired. And here, me being an older millennial, I'm always complaining. I'm so tired. I'm like, oh my God, like, they never complain. How tired.
Amazing.
And it's hard work what they used to do. So they're like, if there's anyone that has inspired me, I think they're my parents. I want to be able to retire them as well.
Yeah. So are they still working at the restaurant?
My dad is. My mom is semi-retired. She's here. She goes back. But right now, you know, with the pandemic, she decided she would just stay here with us for now. But my dad is still working.
Okay. What kind of restaurant is it?
It's in Puerto Rico. We call it Restaurante Criollo. It's geared towards more like Asian Puerto Rican fusion food.
Sounds delicious. Where in Puerto Rico is it? The next time I'm there, I gotta go see it.
we live in a very small town in Puerto Rico. It's called Villalba. It's in the south of Puerto Rico.
Okay, cool. and this is a complete tangent, but I'm curious, with all your family's business background, one of the other ways to reach financial independence is business. So what made you decide not to go into business?
Just looking how hard my parents used to work. Like, I don't know if I have the energy and really the discipline.
Good word.
To be like them. If there's other ways that I can make money, but easier, I'll try to go to a second.
I love it. I love it. All right. Well, question number 3 is, what books are you reading now or have read and loved and would recommend?
Oh my God. There are 2 books that I will always, always love to like spread the title. It's because these books changed my life, literally. The first one is like, it's by J.L. Collins. It's Simple Path to Wealth. It's if you have no idea how to invest or why you should invest in the stock market, start with this one book. And the second one, it's Quit Like a Millionaires. It's written by Christy Shen and Bryce Leung. They are a Chinese-Canadian couple that retire in the early 30s. So they wrote this book after they have retired. And it just sort of resonated what I would want in life or how I would like the passive income to come from. So our strategy mimics mostly from these 2 books.
Which is, could you talk a little bit about it? I know you said index fund investing, but are you investing through retirement accounts, through brokerage accounts?
We are investing through both tax advantage as well as retirement account. So we try to max out both of our Roth IRA. We also try to max out both of our traditional 401k in our workplace. Mm-hmm. And whatever is left, if we have any money left from bonus, commissions, it will go towards like a taxable account and crypto. Crypto, it's a very small amount, but we also invest in cryptocurrency.
I'm going to do an episode on crypto, but what are you investing in really?
Right now, it's mainly on just Ethereum and Bitcoins.
Okay.
We do want to increase or sort of diversify our crypto portfolio as well and choose Solana in the future. But yeah, Bitcoin and Ethereum, those are the 2 main ones that we invest every month.
We're heavily in XRP. Mm-hmm. And we do a little bit here and there, honestly, like a couple hundred, like $100 here, like yes. every so often, just to be diversified and to play. Like, it's not, I'm okay if like we lose it. You know yes. what I mean? That's what I would tell people. If you're, I think it's very good to be in crypto, but it's also so new and volatile still in the sense yeah. of like, especially if you don't know what you're doing.
And with that is like you mentioned, it's very volatile. It's very new. So only put in what you're willing to lose.
Exactly. So I really do like XRP. I've done a lot of research on it and I really like it, but there's still, you never know what could happen. And this is not financial advice. Do your own research. This is just sharing what we do.
Yeah, I just share what I do. And sometimes I just like to go in and do it.
Yeah. How you did.
You know, it's really investing in it. You know, don't put that much that, you know, if you lose that money, you're going to be in big trouble. So really with crypto, we only put at most right now, it's $400 a month. And if it all goes to zero, we're okay with it. So that's why we only put what we are willing to lose.
And what's your savings rate?
Our saving rate right now, it's 50%.
Okay, I'm going to dive a little deeper in this. How are you saving 50% living in New York?
So we rent upstairs, and I also rent between 1 to 2 rooms in our apartment, and those number in itself covers the mortgage and utilities for this property. And our income, we have 2 W-2 incomes right now. I get paid very, very decent for being an RN. So I'm a registered nurse. So if I'm not mistaken, we get about close to $9,000 on my paycheck per month.
Oh, that's amazing.
My husband, probably a little bit less, but between both of us, we are very frugal. We don't buy a lot of things, just what we need. And we definitely practice minimalism. I dealt in the topic of minimalism for about 2.5 years, so almost 3 years. And we live way below our means. And I turn pescatarian.
Oh, wait, so I'm sorry, just to go back. So you make 9,000.
My husband, about close to maybe 5,000 or 5,000 to 6,000.
And this is after tax, you guys both make?
This is after tax, yeah. This is
okay, after tax. That's a lot. That's great. That's a strong, strong
that's
income.
That's how we are able to actually save 50%. And what we save is we put it mostly in investment every month.
Amazing. Okay. Well, that was a long roundabout, but I think it was all good information. So thank you for taking that little journey with me. Question number 4 is, what is one actionable tip or piece of advice that you can tell our moms out there to help them on their own financial independence journey?
And just start it. It doesn't matter how big of a step you think you're making. Just do one step, one day at a time. And in about a week, you imagine how much you can do. And that's how I always say that you can learn anything online in this tech era. There's there's not one question that cannot be answered on Google.
Yeah.
So you have a question, go to Google, ask. You know, there's so many YouTube shows you so much DIY. So I would just go ahead and do it. Just do it. You're going to have a lot of questions. What if I fail? Well, what if you don't start?
I love that. What if you don't start? Well, that's good. All right, Maria. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on. And thank you again for reaching out. And if you also have a story that you'd like to share and would like to hop on the Investor Mama podcast, please reach out and let me know, because this has been so much fun. Maria, though, how can my listeners connect with you further?
I post a lot of our journey on our Instagram, and it is goals.wonders.fire. That's where I usually post on a monthly basis. I post our progress, where our portfolio's at, our saving rate, our like tips and hacks to save and budget.
Yeah, I love your Instagram. It's really great. So definitely go check it out. And I will put links in the show notes. Maria, thanks so much again for coming on.
Thank you, Jen, for having me.
All righty, that wraps up another amazing episode of the Investor Mama podcast. It was so much fun, and I really appreciated Maria reaching out and connecting. If you have a story that you want to share, reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook, whatever, email. I don't care. I'd love to connect with you, seriously. And if you think that you have a story that could benefit other moms out there, I'd love for you to share it. So don't hesitate to reach out. You can email me, again, Jen, J-E-N, investormama.com. And I know I mentioned this at the beginning of the episode, but if you are thinking of other ways to make money and you're not sure how, go to investormama.com/make money. I have a couple of resources on there for you as well. So if you did like today's episode, along with my other content, please subscribe on the platform that you're listening to and leave a rating or written review. It's super helpful unless the providers know you are finding value with my content. And also feel free to share this episode. If you know anyone who is thinking about out-of-state real estate investing or who is having difficulty with IVF and can relate, feel free to pass this along and let them learn about our community, about our tribe as well. Well, that's it for now. This is Investor Mama. I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Investor Mama podcast. If you like today's episode, please support us by clicking subscribe on the platform you are currently listening to, leaving a comment or awesome review, and spreading the wealth and sharing this podcast with friends and family or on social media. Don't forget to check out investormama.com to connect with our community and sign up for our email. Stay tuned for next week's episode.